Hey everyone, welcome to Crewcast. It's a podcast for guys of every generation. And I'm Todd Mullins, the pastor at Christ Fellowship Church here in South Florida. The Crewcast is a series of real conversations with other men designed to help you grow in your faith, live with purpose, and become the man God has created you to be. Hey guys, welcome back to part two of this special Crewcast meets Sisterhood collab episode. Last week, we kicked off the season with a conversation about parenting, and this week, we're going to continue that conversation with my favorite person on the planet, Pastor Julie, and our dear, dear friends, James and Lisa Duvall. Let's dive in.
So parenting really has never been easy, right?
Right.
But I think parenting in today's culture has some challenges that we've never seen really in the history of the world.
Right.
I don't think that's an overstatement,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
So Todd, I'd love for you to jump in first and just maybe unpack a few of the challenges that we're facing today and the attacks that we're actually under in 2024.
Right.
And how we can go on the offense of the battle that we're in.
Yeah, we shared recently that we really believe that the family unit is under spiritual attack, that God's plan for marriage, God's plan for family, that is coming under a direct assault. And all you've got to do is turn on the TV to see it played out and normalized. And so the things that are really being torn at the family is actually that happens in every family. And so all of a sudden we just think, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. But the truth is there's a real enemy that wants to rob, kill, and destroy. There's a real enemy that wants to divide our marriages, divide our homes, pit parent against child, child against parent, and wedge a gap inside there. And of course, we know the real enemy is the devil who is trying to destroy it. It says in Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against heavenly powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. And that can sound scary when you realize, wait a minute, we're fighting demons here. Like we've got, there's a demonic attack to rob the family unit, to rob the hearts of kids away from parents. But we are equipped for it. Mm-hmm. We are equipped for this battle. We are equipped for it through the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God living in us to give us guidance as parents. And there's times as parents we're going to see that. Really, I think this battle happens most in relationship with our kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's where we saw it the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, when we were young parents, you know, we didn't have, actually today there's so much technology and so forth. You know, Facebook came out in 2004 and our kids were young. I mean,
elementary.
So we kind of grew up with this social media infusion and the culture and so forth. And we were just ill prepared for it. Like
there was no one ahead of us.
There's no one ahead of us to know how to deal with social media or so forth. And so, you know, our oldest daughter, Alex, she was very gifted in technology. And so at 13 years old, she was coding websites and, you know, creating all this stuff. And we didn't even know how to turn on the computer, it seems like, at that point. But, you know, it is true that the attack on our kids is so much more intense. And, you know, as parents, we have to stay up to speed on what's going on in culture. I mean, globalization and, you know, even the things that are being taught to our kids are so countercultural to what even we're teaching at church or in the home. So we have to know how to be truth carriers to our kids in this battle, because they're being confronted day in, day out, all the time, from social media, TV, to friends, to what they're being taught in school. That's so contrary to what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. And it is a battle for the lives of our kids.
Yeah, I think there is accessibility to information in this culture, and even more so than in 2004, just this innocent wondering leading into the weighty content, which can't be unseen and creates a curiosity in the mind that causes you to want to go back for more. I remember years ago, I was sitting with then a young adult, but she was in that same age range of our kids, who was talking to me about the draw to pornographic images that was seared in her brain. And I'm like, well, goodness, where in the world did this come? Like, how did this come about? And in my journey with her and talking with her, she said, I was in middle school and I didn't know some of the functions of my body. And I went on the internet and it opened this whole door, innocent wandering to information that she didn't know about, just normal information that launched her into this consistent curiosity to keep going back. And then she couldn't, she's like, how as a believer do I get this out of my mind? Mm-hmm. Her parents didn't know that she was doing this. It would be just as innocent for us to go, we have this mechanism called the World Wide Web. Mm-hmm. You can get on and look for anything. And it is different. It is, I mean, and I know it has increased since then.
Yeah.
But it is, we have to stay vigilant of going, we have to stay ahead of it. We weren't ahead of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you get ahead of it. I think it's like what you said, Pastor Julie, resources, information, mentorship, people ahead of you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love, Pastor Julie, what you always says, you know, we don't know what we don't know. What we don't know will hurt us. Our kids don't know what they don't know. What they don't know will hurt them. So we have to be, as parents, guardians of the truth. And Pastor Todd, just recently you shared about talking about where we get our authority from. And it's easy for us to misinterpret where authority is, and authority is in the Word of God, and authority is in Scripture. And so we have to make sure as parents, even more diligently today than even when we were, all of us had young kids, we had to be more diligent about making sure that we're pointing our kids to truth and that the authority that they're getting is true, and that we're responsible for kind of being the truth guardians for our kids.
As pioneers of parenting in a digital age, if we're in the front end of it, I'm sure there's people on the front of it more than us, but in our experience, I would say, I wish I would have, if I would have known, but I'm telling you now, is I wish I would have limited technology as long as I could. I mean, like iPhones, anything, and monitored more strictly to it, because once it's open, it's hard to pull back. I even, and then now, which I haven't, we just navigated with our youngest, is she lost, I always call them earpods because it makes sense to me, but I know they're called AirPods, so I just call them earpods because it annoys everyone. But she lost an expensive pair of earpods, and we're like, you're going to have to just wear these knockoff brand. And she was, and she's like, I will not do it. It will be, I will be a social outcast if you send me. And she was dead serious.
Wow.
And she's like, I cannot walk into school with those in my ears. I'll just go without. And so we're like trying to teach her a lesson about you're going to have to pay for resources that are expensive. And she's like, no. And I think that is just a little sampling of parenting now, is when you start pulling away all this technology from your kids, you're actually putting them in a very weird place socially. How do we answer that question? I don't know. That's for a later podcast. But it's the reality of like you're always having to stay growing.
We're going to put some resources because we won't be able to unpack all of this. But there is so much research that says, you know, that really – developmentally, kids aren't ready for what is all at available to them 24/7 on an iPhone. Because the truth is, you said something about, you know, this young girl who went and looked for something innocently. You don't even have to go looking for it. It just pops up. Like, you could be innocently just playing a game or, you know, doing a term paper, and it's just going to pop up there. And it's coming after you. And when it starts coming after you, you know that that's when it is an attack of the enemy, because it's robbing our kids of their innocence. And you said, James, you know, quoting me, that we don't know what we don't know, and what we don't know, what our kids don't know, can hurt them. What we don't know can hurt our kids.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and so we have to be diligent. I think about before Jefferson was born, I read the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, and it was probably a 700-page encyclopedia of everything that could possibly happen within the first year of their life. I was very prepared for the first year, you know, but I think about how many books do we read as they get older, how much more do they need equipping? Because we did so much to baby-proof our house.
Yeah.
We plugged every single plug. We covered every single corner on every single table.
True.
And how to actually, we baby-proofed, you know, our house then. And how much more? They need us more.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
middle school and high school, they need us more, but our methods have to change a little bit,
right?
And you guys have said this before when I've heard you speak on parenting, is that, you know, our methods do have to change. When they're younger, they need copped, right? Yeah. They need us to be the cop. Mm-hmm. They need us to protect them and to lay down really, you know, the ground rules, the boundaries that are pretty narrow when they're younger, to keep them, to protect them. And we all get that for the most part.
Yeah.
But as they get older, we can't cop them.
Right.
We have to equip them to make their own decisions and really, you know, equip them in the Word of God, in good decision making. That's when we coach them.
Yeah.
Right.
And then as they go into the adult years, like our son and daughter are now, it's that we become their counselor. But all through that is really keeping that open relationship with them, maintaining a relationship where they want to be with us, they want to ask the questions. And it's hard, but for us to be able to parent in every generation, we've got to figure out what in that season it is that we need to protect them from, and how do we have that conversation with them.
Right. Yeah, I think it's really important too, just having the conversation with them. Mm-hmm. If you're concerned that your child is looking at something online, talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. Just let them know, hey, we know this is an attack, or we know mm-hmm. that, man, it just pops up. Have you seen something? Have you been pulled in that area? Mm-hmm. Can we talk about it? Mm-hmm. I think just bringing it out where it's a normal conversation allows them to not be afraid mm-hmm. to open up and say, yeah, I have been struggling yeah. in this yeah. area. Yeah. And then keeping that conversation going on how they're going to walk in freedom mm-hmm. and working with them and praying with them through that is really yeah. an important step mm-hmm. as a parent.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the thing you're talking about, cell phones, you know, they call them smartphones, but the reality is they don't make us smarter, right? And if we're not careful as parents, sometimes we can look at technology passively, like it's just this thing, but there's nothing passive about what's happening with algorithms mm-hmm. and these tech companies that are indoctrinating our kids. So as parents, we can't be passive right. on what this tool is. We have to be as aggressive mm-hmm. on making sure the truth is standing yep. firm on those mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm.
Yep. As aggressive as we were plugging up those electrical
yes,
outlets.
Yes, yeah. yeah. exactly. You know? We get teenage proof.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. That's a great
exactly.
connection.
It's yeah. great. Julie, you did an episode on church hurt in last season of the Sisterhood podcast where you talked about how the next generation is deconstructing their faith. And one of the things you said is in those online spaces that people are gravitating towards it because in those online spaces, mm-hmm. they feel known, seen, and loved mm-hmm. in those places. Mm-hmm. And so how do we make sure that our kids in our homes are feeling known, seen, yeah. and loved mm-hmm. at home and in God's house mm-hmm. so they're not going somewhere else to try to find what is a need in their soul?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question because we say all the time that, you know, we want our church to be the safest place to have the hardest conversations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because we want our kids who are on the journey, who are being pulled in so many, you know, so many different directions, pulled away from the truth of God's word, they're fighting a battle in culture that we didn't have to fight. And so we want to make this a place where they can have these conversations, and we don't want to tell them, you know, well, don't do that because the Bible says so. They're smart. Our yeah. kids are smart. They want to know the why. We need to be able to help equip them with the why. And so I think that really creating an atmosphere, it takes a lot of intentionality, and it takes a lot of confidence and a lot of humility, mm-hmm. all of those things. I think the most important thing is to create a safe place. Again, I said this in the last episode, is that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that right. we want to create a safe place where our home, this church, is, you know, is a place of joy. It's a place of celebration. It's a place you want to be, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because people are going to gravitate to the places where they feel accepted, because that's the place they want to be. And so if yeah. they feel accepted and known, and they're not going to be put down for their opinions, that there is no question they can ask that's, you know, that's stupid, or that we're going to, you know, or off limits, that's yeah. even better, you know, off limits, then that's going to create an atmosphere for a safe place. And we know at church that these conversations can't always happen from the platform mm-hmm. because that's actually a monologue. That's right. not a dialogue. And there's a time for a monologue. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a time when we need that's to really good. Talk about the truth of God's word and, you know, really declare the truth. But those conversations for our teenagers and for our students, most of these conversations where they're going to be asking the hard questions are going to be asked in maybe a small group in student ministry, you know, mm-hmm. maybe it's going to be, you know, with their friends. And so you want to be able to have those conversations and not always bring down the hammer, right? Mm-hmm. I think when I think about how Jesus discipled, he just discipled by having a lot of creating space where they could have conversations, right? Mm-hmm. There were no questions off limits. Mm-hmm. He discipled with truth, like he always told the truth, but there was so much grace. He ate dinner with sinners all the time, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. He had more to say to the legalistic, you know, church leaders than he did to about their approach, you yeah. know, than he did to the sinners around the table, because he knew that if the religious leaders were constantly coming down on the sinners, that there was not going to be the space yeah. for them to right. actually experience the truth of mm-hmm. God's word. And the word says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, right? Yeah. It's not always judgment. And I think it's important that we're not afraid of the questions. James, I think you hit this earlier, was that sometimes as parents, we're afraid because when we hear them asking questions that are so like far from what we believe or questioning mm-hmm. things, maybe not asking questions, but actually questioning mm-hmm. the very things that we hold dearest yeah. to us, it incites fear in us.
Yes.
And when we are fearful, fear is an extreme emotion that causes extreme emotions.
Yeah.
It's going to cause us to go to one or two extremes. We're either going to become legalistic, mm-hmm. you know, and bring down the hammer, or we're going to become extremely lenient mm-hmm. because we're going to say, oh, you know, we don't want to cross them. We don't want to scare
yeah,
them.
Good.
So
yeah.
so we then we become really permissive.
Passive and permissive.
Yeah. And permissive. And I think both of those things are equally as dangerous. You have to remember right. that God's word tells us that we have not been given a spirit of fear.
Yep.
But a power, mm-hmm. right? The power of the Holy Spirit, of right. love,
yep.
that we love our kids, mm-hmm. you know, and we're going to go to battle for them, and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that a sound mind means that, again, we have to go back and equip ourselves in the Word so we can create a space where those conversations yeah. can happen, because they may have opinions and make decisions that we don't agree with.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But true. Remember, parenting is not a sprint. It's a marathon.
That's right. Great.
You might lose this battle or think you've lost this battle, but you have to remember there's lots more to come. We say all the time, you got to choose your battles. I mean, there are more battles to come. So when you can have this perspective, man, I'm not just in this for the short term. My long-term goal mm-hmm. is to keep this relationship mm-hmm. open, keep this door open
right.
so that you know that I'm going to be the one that you can
yeah,
talk to.
True.
I'm going to be the one that when your friends are telling you one thing, you know, and they're going to figure it out, you mm-hmm. know, over time. But they always know that they can come back to us.
Yeah, it's really good. We've always tried to keep space open for our kids, that whether that is doing life with them in, you know, our work with the church, you know, going to fun events like mm-hmm. Diesel, or at least taking the girls to Amazing and be able to have conversations out of that, those spaces. But we've also, you know, for me personally, I found that a lot of times with my kids, the setup to be able to have conversations down the road is intentional times of just being with them mm-hmm. and tapping into the things that they're passionate about and that they're interested in. Even yeah. if I'm not, you know, I've done a lot of things individually with the kids, try to do something each year. So, you know, I've done a whole vegan food tour with Alex through New York, and that was murder, but I did it, you know, taking, you know, kids to concerts and the people they want to go see, or taking my son to a football game, or you know, fishing, and those intentional times that aren't to prove a point or to have a conversation, just to be and let them yeah. know that, hey, I see you, I hear you, I love you, I'm for you.
Yeah.
Oftentimes opens the door later for conversations. And I think I was reading a book recently by Jim Burns and talking about, you know, raising adult kids, and we're in this season now. And there is going to come a point for all of us as parents that our kids are going to choose their own life direction. And it may be slightly different than the choices that we would make, right?
Right.
And so to keep the door open and to keep the conversation going and to be able to have influence in those areas takes a lot of groundwork mm-hmm. beforehand, so that you can have the opportunity to speak in and to give guidance and to yeah. give coaching and counsel mm-hmm. down the road.
Yeah. Pastor Todd, I was just thinking about what you said about if your child is going through something, open the door if they're struggling with mm-hmm. something. And then Pastor Julie, even what you were just talking about of this grace and truth balance. And when I think about that, not with just our kids, but just as you challenged earlier, Pastor Todd, about our spiritual kids, mm-hmm. is that I want to create this open door for them also.
Yeah. Right.
And one of the things that I feel like I do with my kids as they're asking questions or questioning mm-hmm. things, and or spiritual kids that are coming to me and asking, is this is a no jaw dropping zone.
I mm-hmm. love that.
Like when they're saying something, I may have to be like, you know, holding the chin.
Yeah.
But that it creates a conversation and a dialogue built on relationship. Mm-hmm. I think of Pastor Antonio, who has built and forged great relationship with Adeline.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said some things. I'm like, praise the Lord for Pastor Antonio. Because he said things that I've been saying, but mm-hmm. somehow it's the word of God.
Yeah.
Coming from him. Mm-hmm. Well, that is because he has built relationships. So I think of this as all of this as
yeah.
of our spiritual parenting and being aunts and uncles in the house mm-hmm. and being parents. Yeah.
Yeah. When things you said there, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot of times when we teach on marriage is having a pro-marriage community around
yeah.
you. And I actually think it's the same thing with parenting. You need a pro parenting community around you that's going to echo the same things in your kids' lives that you're saying. I think you guys have been that for our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not judging them or trying to make them behave a certain way, but you're echoing and coming alongside and supporting our family and supporting us as parents. And, you know, sometimes it's easy for our kids to feel judged or scrutinized by teachers or by coaches or, you know, that you should be acting this way. And what they need from us as parents is that support and guidance and encouragement and love that, hey, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter how hard it is, or if you blow it or you succeed, celebrating the wins, but also not over-inflating the failures, you know, and then you have a community of people. And I think that's a beautiful thing about the church, you know, for us as moms and dads to be in biblical community in the church, to be around other moms and dads who are trying to echo the same thing to their kids. And then knowing that, you know, what is being promoted from our student pastors, our kids pastors, is really building into what our kids need. Somebody say you don't raise your kids in isolation. It's a community that raises. And that's why it's so important to have church. The church so they can have those conversations.
I think when we as parents love our kids that way, good, bad, whether they're doing what we want them to do or not doing what we want, but we love, our love is consistent. Mm-hmm. We are consistently there. Mm-hmm. Our love doesn't change. Yeah. We don't, I think we reflect for them what their Heavenly Father, his love towards them. Mm-hmm. They actually get a living picture vision of, and there's a times you got to hold your jaw up or hold your tongue and not say what you want to say or how you want to say it. That doesn't mean you don't speak truth.
Yeah.
They know what we believe.
Exactly.
They know, you know, when they know they've done something, they know. But how we love them through that, I think, really paints a beautiful picture of God's consistency, His unconditional love for them. And it helps them understand Him better when we can love that way. And so that's been a motivation for me. It's like, I want to, as best I can, God, help me be a picture of your love to my kids, even when they're not doing what I want them to do. Mm-hmm. Although I think they're pretty perfect.
You know, I was thinking, I actually just thought about this because I share a lot of times my mentor when I was, you know, just became a believer. She just graduated from college. She was a young adult and she invested in me so heavily. But I remember her telling me the story that when she was in high school that she had been rebellious. Mm-hmm. And she came in from a party one night and she'd been doing some things she shouldn't be doing. And she was in bed that night and she woke up to her mom, Mabel Smith, grabbing hold of her feet and just praying over her. And just praying that, you know, God's peace, God's future, the future that God had for her, declaring scripture over her. And it was, she was making decisions that, you know, that this mom, this godly mom did not agree with. She didn't. And she did, you know, there were some boundaries put in place, but more than her remembering the punishment, she remembered the prayer that her parent was praying over her in that very state. And so I always thought about that as a picture of just that unconditional love.
So beautiful.
Love it. James and Lisa, you guys have truly been like allies for us in this battle called parenting, right? We've done a lot of life together. And Lisa, you share many times about the time that Alex pushed Jefferson down in the nursery for the first time.
And I think she bit him also.
She bit him. But you know what? What you don't share is how many times Jefferson clobbered Alex in the years to come. And you know, you guys have really been allies to us in this battle, the spiritual battle of parenting. And I think it is really important, James, you said this, that we need people around us. We need a community around us. And we say all the time that we're going to be each other's kids' biggest encouragers.
Yeah, that's right.
And when I say their biggest encouragers, we're going to prophesy over their potential. Mm-hmm. So even when they don't make the right decisions, we're going to tell them, you know, man, what a great leader you are. God's got such an amazing plan for your life. Really just prophesying over them as if they are in spiritual victory. Because that is, to me, that's actually raising up the shield of faith, right? Yeah. When we're talking about this battle, we're going to raise up the shield of faith. We're going to believe something for our kids that we do not see today. But when we speak those words, we're actually engaging in a spiritual battle. We're bringing a different spirit.
Love it.
What we're saying is we're going to believe God for the plan that you have over their lives. And we're going to believe it not just for our own kids, but for each other's kids. And we don't need bullets flying, you know, we don't need bullets flying from each other. Right. We get enough of that from culture. We get enough of it from the world. But as parents in this house at Christ Fellowship, you know, as parents, we are going to have a culture of being each other's greatest allies, prophesying over each other's kids and our spiritual kids, because I really think that's what God's plan is for us.
I love it. I love it.
Thanks so much for joining us for Crewcast. We will make sure to include plenty of parenting resources in the links to our show notes. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this with a friend. Can't wait to be with you next week.